As we come with our different stories, as we come with the story of LMC and build on those key stories and many others from the Bible, then I believe God works wonderful new things in us. He shows us God's meaning and purpose, and God inspires us in faithfulness and in new life. And so we're going to sing a hymn that reminds us of the wonderful new things that are possible in God. Sing a new song, new church into being, summoned by the God who made us. So, what's the story? The story for us as Christians is the interweaving of God's story and our story. And, as I say, it's a Methodist theme, and if you want to pursue this further than anything I say, if you look on the Methodist website, there is a page, I think it's Our Story and God's Story, and you'll look up about telling the use of story, about what it means for us to be a year of testimony. Here, on a church anniversary, we bring together many stories. 126 years, is that right? Of this build of LMC here. And that involves many people. All of us here today. Also many no longer with us. Some of us will have long memories of this community, some short. Today, some of us may be remembering particular people who've been important to us and to our faith in the life of this community who are no longer with us. Perhaps family members, others who've helped us on our Christian journey. We can reflect on the joys and sometimes the challenges of being in fellowship here and serving the community of Leatherhead. An anniversary is a time to give thanks for what the church has done well. And also perhaps to reflect on what we could have done differently. And as Christians, our church story is held by the stories we've heard, those archetypal stories of faith, particularly rooted in the story of Jesus Christ. And it's how we wind the story of Jesus into our stories of individuals, of our church, of our community, that we find that meaning and purpose and the inspiration that we need as individuals and that we need to continue to be God's loving, serving community in Leatherhead for the days to come. How do we help people weave their story and show how the story of Jesus helps make sense of it for them? That's part of what evangelism and mission is about. Not just telling a story of Jesus, but saying, how does that relate to your story? How do we do that? Do we do that in church? Do we tell the stories of our lives in the light of the story of Jesus and vice versa? Telling stories of faith, engaging with the Christian story in the Bible, listening to the stories of others. In this book, one of the chapters that perhaps challenges me because I talk too much is hearing stories, listening for the untold. Where Barbara Glasson reminds us that many people have stories that are buried, either not told, not heard. And in a true Christian community, we need to listen differently for what she calls the unstory. Some of these stories are very painful and personal, and people are rightly careful of how they share them, and we shouldn't force it. We're learning more about the traumas of abuse, how traumatic memories are hidden and then can burst out in sometimes difficult ways. We need to learn the appropriateness of sharing, listening well, and creatively. That's a key element of the ministry of a Christian community. In the book, Barbara tells the story of Nellie and Gladys, who'd sat in neighbouring pews in the same church for nearly 50 years. It was only when the relative newcomer, Sarah, told them that her first grandchild had been stillborn that the two old women both disclosed that they too had lost babies at birth. They'd amazed that they'd sat next to each other for 50 years and never shared that story until the time that someone's facilitated it. How do we offer a community where there is an appropriate depth of relationship so people feel heard and understood? The stories we tell are important. How do we then interact them with the story of Jesus? I know my life finds meaning and purpose, that I know life in all its fullness when it most fully relates to the story of the life and death and the new life of Jesus. Those times when I'm struggling to love myself and I hear his voice of love and acceptance. Those times when I'm with others breaking barriers and building bridges with those who are different for social justice, as Jesus did so many times in healing lepers, conversing in depth and healing Samaritans, relating to Nicodemus the Pharisee. You go on, virtually every healing story of Jesus, he's breaking a barrier, some social barrier, as well as giving health to the new person. Those times when I know what death and resurrection truly is, and that's been most notable for me in my experience over the past year. I know that that's not everyone's experience with cancer, but that's my testimony about me at the moment and how I weave that into the Christian story. And those times that I've talked about when I feel supported through being part of a community of faith who share stories with me and listen to mine. That's when I know the experience of Jesus, the presence of Jesus, guiding, challenging, inspiring. And as the church anniversary, especially coming back for us, stories of the past are bound to be told, and they're important. Without them, we are rootless. But we are not here about living in the past. We're called to tell a story not of past lives, of how God used to deal with his people, although that's important as a building block, but we are also here to tell the story of a God whose story lives on and leads us on. A God who says, "Behold, I make all things new." I need to know that the LMC is not as it was when I left it 6 years ago. The story has moved on. It has to move on, and that's great. But it's also challenging. Change is a challenge for any community, and religious communities seem to find change more difficult than most. Yes, we try and offer a place of peace and comfort and security in a fast-changing world, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everything has to be exactly as it was. But I know personalities are different, and as you know, with our experience of having Mark as an autistic person, that's given me perhaps some more respect for people who find change different, difficult, as he, of course, shows it in pathological ways. So changing a hymn at our Christmas, we take him to church when he comes to stay with us at Christmas on the condition that the preacher gives a printed order of service so he knows exactly what's going to happen. The reserve pianist on Christmas Day this year couldn't play the Calypso Carol. She couldn't do a thing, but it was on the orders. But we had to come and join the celebration instead. "Wrong!" said Mark. "You've changed it." We have to recognise people. It's taught me to be perhaps more patient with people who find change difficult. But we do need to remember we find our security in our relationship with a God who is unchanging in his love and faithfulness, but who nevertheless makes all things new and challenges us to relate to the world in which we're in, the changing world in which we're in, and relate the faith in appropriate ways. In my role as chair of district at the moment, I'm finding it exciting to be in leadership in the Methodist Church. Yes, there are challenges in terms of numbers and age profile and too many buildings. Yes, some Methodists are finding it difficult to hold together around the debate around marriage and relationships. Although I have to say that the debate is also producing an enormous amount of grace and courage as people try to work out in love what it means to live with contradictory convictions. But it's exciting because I sense that in the leadership of our church, we are finally, and perhaps not before time at church house level, discovering that we need to do things differently. And new things are emerging. Evangelism and growth is at the centre now of the church's agenda, and Methodist Council next week will approve a new evangelism and growth document that I hope will be taken up around the churches. They have a fantastic team leader called Trey Hall, who is the Evangelism and Growth National Mission Advisor. And I own an interest because for 2 years he was the Birmingham District Mission Advisor. He comes as American Methodist. And he has challenged us in our mission in a way that I hope he's now going to challenge the whole church. We have a district mission policy entitled Church Without Walls. And an encouragement for each church to include testimony and reference to their mission statement in every act of worship. And we're getting there. And good resources and leadership are being offered to help churches plan creatively for the continuation of their mission, so the story is not just about the past, but about the future. And I don't know if any of you have seen this, but there is now a free pack on planning for mission called Our Church's Future Story. How are we going to develop the future story of our church? It's wonderful to come back to LMC and find both that things are the same and that great new things are happening. As you look to make Jesus real to the people of Leatherhead and beyond. We have so much to be thankful for, and it's good to rejoice in shared memories. But we also have so much to hope for. The future will not look like the past. Much of what we love in church life may have to die so we discover the new life that the Holy Spirit brings. But we go forward in faith, knowing that the story of the crucified, risen Jesus that inspired us in the past and inspired those who started this church will continue to inspire us and others with his living, loving presence today and forever. Thanks be to him. Amen.